plead for grace. My brother, that you might forgive another who crossed your way. When sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can change the night to day. So in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray. You know, and really, it's a command. Right? You know, I mean, we're told to confess our faults one to another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're told that we're to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. You know, as we face trials and we face struggles in life, we can try and come alongside of our brother or our sister and hold them and tell them, I feel for you. I care for you. But we can't really say that we understand what we're going through because, you know, we go through trials, we go through struggles, and we could say that we have gone through some of those same trials and struggles, but we're all different. We've all, you know, I mean, the life that we led causes our mind to function differently than each other's. So as we get into this passage tonight, truly the desire is that you would read those verses with me. Search for truth in those verses with me for yourself. Apply it to yourself. One of the things that we mention in the prison a lot of times is that, you know, we're going to bring God's word to you. We're going to read God's word. We may give a sense of what that verse or what chapter means, but in the end, it's not our opinion that matters. It's God's word that matters. And so, you know, as we pray here in just a second, pray with me, please, that through God's word you would get some encouragement tonight, that you would be rewarded, if you will, by the truth of reading God's word. Let's pray. Precious Father, Lord, we come to you and we do thank you for who you are. Father, we thank you for the truth that comes from your word. We thank you, Lord, that that when we are obedient and we cast our cares upon you and trust in you and rest in your promises, that you can give grace and peace, whatever the trial, whatever the struggle. And Lord, as we open your word tonight, I just pray, God, that the reading of your word would be blessed, that you would be glorified, you would be lifted up, and Lord, that you would just completely remove this messenger from the picture, and that, again, that Christ would be glorified and lifted up in your word. And it's in Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen. So on Wednesday night, we've been going through Psalm 119. And there's been lots of truth that we've pulled from it. The psalmist, as we've seen, has gone through some hard times and some struggles and some trials. And, you know, he's been wronged. He's been hurt physically, emotionally. And yet, we see time and time again, David is saying that I trust in thy statutes. I trust in thy promises. You know, last week, 2 weeks ago, Pastor went over Psalm 119, the second half of verse 105 through 113. But one of the things that he had pulled out as he was going through that passage was how the fact that God's word is a light to lead us through our lives daily. You know, we could say that God's word gives us direction. It shows us where we need to go and how we need to go, right? And then he also said that it was a light to my feet, or a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. But the point being was that the lamp was there to show you how to avoid the stumbling blocks. You know, we're going to have the trials and the troubles and the struggles, they're going to come, right? We know this. We know that Satan is going to attack us. We know that there are things that are going to trip us up in our life. You know, it'd be nice if life was a bed of roses without the thorns, you know, or a nice patch of green grass. It's all soft and you don't have to worry about stepping in a hole, tripping over a rock. But that lamp is there to show us step by step. We can trust in his word. So all that's free. We're going to go to, like I said, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. We'll read that and then we'll get into our study tonight. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So as we get into this tonight, keeping in mind Paul's letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, how do we do that? How do we rightly divide the word of truth? By studying it, by reading it, by meditating on it. It's interesting because as I was reading 1 Peter 5 through 11, there's a lot of things that I've heard before, that I've taken in, you know, and we apply to our life, right? But when we study God's word and we look at it and we start meditating on it and start taking it for ourselves and applying it to our lives, applying it to my life, there were some interesting things that come out to me. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I find it interesting that that directly applies back to 1 Peter. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so as we take this and start applying it to, okay, how does that work for me? What's going on? Well, history, to start with. Who did Peter write this letter to? He had written the letter to the first century Christians. Why? Because they were going through it. They were in the thick of it. Life was not easy. I mean, we sit there and we say, you know, the persecution that we face is bad. You know, what? Someone gives us a cross eye. Someone says, oh, you're, you know, holier than now. Someone says, oh, well, you're just looking down your nose at me because you're a Bible thumper or whatever. These first century Christians, they were being dipped in oil and set on fire. Human candles for Nero. That's persecution. That's going through it. You know, yes, mental anguish and feeling like I may be an outcast because I don't have the same thoughts as someone else. Can be hurtful, but that's really not persecution. It's not a trial. So as we get into that, the very first command in this passage is be sober. And as we look at fruits of the Spirit, while the word sober is not a fruit of the Spirit, it says we're supposed to be calm and collected, temperate, dispassionate, circumspect. So I am to be sober, which means that as things come my way, I'm not going to go up and down. It's hard to be even keeled when you're going through the struggle, right? I mean, when something happens that affects me, the first thing that happens is the brain goes off, and then the heart rate goes up, and then right there, there's that split second. What am I going to do? Am I going to respond? Or am I going to react? And yes, there's a difference between the two. Because I can respond to the situation and still be calm. I can be temperate. It's real easy to just let the tongue fire away. That's not very dispassionate. I mean, that's what the word means, right? Dispassionate. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, I can be passionate about what I'm doing, but I can be calm about it. The second command in this is to be vigilant. And that word vigilant gives us the idea of attentive, which I think we all have a pretty good idea. If I'm vigilant, I'm on point. You know, take the door guard for a sec, for instance. If he was not vigilant at his job, then we would say that he was asleep at the post, right? Sleep on the job, not doing what he's supposed to, not paying attention, not looking at the things happening around him. Attentive. It says active or cautious, to take heed. So here I am, I'm being sober, I'm got a good idea of everything that's going on. I'm actively taking account of everything going on and doing something about it. Another idea to go along with this word vigilant would be to take heed, lest through remission or indolence. There's your $5 word for the day, indolence. Which means habitual laziness or life of ease. So we're supposed to be attentive, active, cautious, taking heed lest through remission or habitual laziness or a life of ease, some destructive calamity overtake us. What is Satan's goal? I mean, what is the goal of Satan when it comes to the life of the child of God? His goal is to defile us. His goal is to discourage us. Or how about even discredit us? So we're to be sober, we're to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But we're going to break this verse up just a little bit, because that is where I've always heard this passage kind of stop, right? I've heard lots of preachers, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But wait a second. We have two commands, be sober, be vigilant. And let's read it this way. Because your adversary, the devil, see, there's punctuation in there, right? Looks like a little semicolon, which means we have a second thought. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So with that idea, there's a couple more things that we could look at, right? So we're supposed to be sober. We're supposed to be vigilant. Why? Because Satan, our adversary, the one who wants to defile us, the one who wants to discourage us, the one who wants to discredit us, is walking around seeking whom he may devour. And, you know, when I stop right there, I can have the idea of like, man, yeah, I really went through it today. It was really hard. The struggle was real. But when we put that verse 9 tagged with the end of verse 8, there's something else that is now applied to our life. He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. So, I'm going through it in my life. I'm being sober, I'm being vigilant, I'm trying to do all the things I'm supposed to do. But what, I need to be vigilant about watching out for my brother. I need to be vigilant in understanding that my brother or my sister is going through a hard time or going through a struggle or is being attacked by Satan. And what am I supposed to do about it? Well, I mean, I can give a word of encouragement. I can take them God's word and say that he'll give you grace. But I can also pray for my brother. I can't, in all of my thoughts about this, it's quite interesting. Again, we don't believe in circumstance or in coincidences. We believe that God has a divine appointment for us in our lives and the things that we go through and the things that are expected of us. This lesson, message, I was working on about 3 weeks ago. We knew that there were some things in the Middle East that were getting pretty ugly, and there were some things that we needed to be in prayer about. But now we're at a point where Noah's not able to make it back into country. We're supposed to be praying that the Lord would give us wisdom and discernment about what to do. How are we going to proceed? Where are we going to go? We need to keep at home in prayer. Is his desire is to continue ministering to the saints there? He's desiring to keep doing the services as much as he can. But we need to pray for their safety. Yes, you know, this is an everyday life thing for them, and they deal with it all the time. But keeping in mind that, you know, Satan wants to use this to discourage. Satan wants to use this to draw people away. You know, it's one of those things. I don't want to go because I'm afraid something bad may happen. Understood. That's a possibility. But when I put my faith and my trust in Christ, then I can have the attitude of it's in his hands, it's his will, whatever happens, happens. And I can have peace through whatever that may be. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So as we're going through it, we understand that, you know, Satan is doing the best that he can to take us out, to discourage us, to have discredit us, defile us. The attacks, as we recognize in Ephesians, are from the wicked one. And as you look at all those things that we're supposed to take on ourselves, there's not one thing in there that means me. It doesn't say, well, do all you can do to stand. You know, stand your ground, and then if that doesn't work, apply this. He says, do all, you know, he says, let me go back so I don't mess it up. He says, stand therefore having your loins girded. Before that he says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. So, you are to resist. But understanding without his truth applied to your life, without his truth in your hand, without thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Without constant meditation on his word, the truth is we're going to falter. We're going to fail. But when we take his truth and apply it to our life, and his righteousness is applied to our life, and his gospel is coming from our mouth, and our faith, well, You know, that shield of faith, it's not faith. Well, yes, I have faith. Who is that faith in? That faith is in the only one who will not fail. That faith is in the righteous one, the one who cannot lie. The one who tells us to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. Guess what? That means he cares for you. And me as a brother, knowing when you're going through it, I got to pray. That's what the end of this says. With all supplication, pray. You know, salvation is the helmet that's put upon us. And honestly, you know, it's interesting that it's kind of down towards the end of this passage, but that's obviously the most important thing. Because unless you've come to that point in your life where you recognize that I'm vile, I'm sinful, there's nothing good about me, and I've repented and gone to God and asked for forgiveness through Jesus Christ, all these other things, they don't matter. Because in the end, you're just doing it in your own strength. You can say, I have faith in God. You can say, I believe in Jesus Christ. But unless you've done something with that, unless you've come to that point and had that personal relationship with Him, in humility and saying, God, I've sinned, forgive me, you are a child of Satan. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto. So again, that idea of being vigilant, right? So as a child of God, recognizing that my brothers and my sisters are going through it, and I'm understanding and recognizing that my place is to pray for them, I also need to come back and recognize that Psalm 66, verse 18, can affect my brother. Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we are a body here, right? I'm the big toe. I'll just take it. But, I mean, really, we are a body. And when a fellow member is going through it, it should affect us. And if it doesn't affect us, then shame on us. We need to come back and get a little bit of a heart check and say, what's wrong with me? If I see a brother or sister that's hurting, or going through a trial, or going through a struggle, or one that has failed and fallen short, it should affect me. And in love, I need to go, you know, I should go to them and say, hey, can I help? Be of good cheer. God's not going to fail you. He'll get you through this. But on the same hand, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if there's sin in my life that's not right, guess what? It affects the work of God. It affects the Holy Spirit's ability to work in and through lives. You know, probably about a year ago, I did a lesson on, can I affect the gospel and its work? The truth is, yes, I can. Satan wants to discredit us. I've said that many, many times now, right? If I'm constantly saying this is truth, and this is what needs to happen, and this is, you know, what God's word says, but then my life does not live that I believe that truth, then I'm discredited. The world looks at me and says, you're a hypocrite. I mean, a lot of times people say, well, I don't want to go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites. Right? So if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So what do I do about it? I got to get it right. You know, that's the one thing that's great about our Lord, right? Because he tells us if we come to him and we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's willing to take us and make us new. Which gets us into verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, understanding that the trials, the troubles, the struggles, there's going to be suffering along the way. But in verse 10 he says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So it's not my glory, it's his glory that he's called us. After ye have suffered a while, so, you know, things are going to happen, you're going to go through it. But he promises that he's going to do what? He's going to make us perfect. He's going to establish us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to settle us. So after things have happened, whether it's I've failed to live the godly life that I should, or I've been hurt. You know, some people use excuse that, you know, you just don't know. I've been hurt by a pastor before, so I really, you know, I have a hard time trusting. I've been hurt by people in church before, so I just can't go there because I don't believe. Or I've lost faith in people because I've been hurt. You know what? When we turn to him, he can fix it. But the question is, am I going to turn to him? Am I going to stay where I'm at and not forgive as I've been hurt? Or am I going to stay where I'm at in my sin and not repent? We have that decision, right? How long ago was it when we went to Wenatchee? It was 8 years ago? So 7 years. No, 6 years. Anyways, when we went to Wenatchee, one of the things that they talked about was, what did you get tonight? What did you get out of the lesson tonight? What did you get out of the sermon tonight? And then the next question was what? What are you going to do about it? What did you get? And what are you going to do about it? To be honest, I would fear the pastor would go around the room. You know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we need to do this out of fear that, you know, oh my goodness, someone could come to me and ask me, what did I get out of it? What am I going to do? But that should be our heart out of love. We should be like, wow, I got this out of God's word tonight, and it really made a difference. And I'm going to choose to obey. I'm going to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, as James talked about. God is willing to perfect us and to make us new if we come to him. Establish, to make stable, to place firmly, to set fast or fix, to strengthen or make firm. You know, the idea of being made stable or placed firmly, to be set fast, goes right back up to the beginning where we are commanded to be sober, calm, dispassionate, collective. You know, if we're not stable and we're not grounded in the foundation of God's word, we can't be sober. And again, it's not a work that we can do, because even as we see here, it says the God of all grace will perfect you, will establish you, will strengthen you, to make strong or strengthen one's soul. You know, our desire should be that everything in my life is for His glory. And everything that I do should be for His glory. But we're men. And unfortunately, we are going to find times that we falter. But the God of all grace is willing to make us perfect again when we come to Him. So when we look at our verses tonight, we're to be sober, we're to be vigilant, understanding that our adversary is trying to make a wreck of our lives or the lives of our brethren, and there's one thing that we are guaranteed that we can do about it, and that is pray. You know, we can give a word of encouragement and tell him we care and come alongside him and say, how can I help? But in the end, I like verse 11. He says, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're to be sober. We're to be vigilant. We are to recognize that Satan is going to do everything he can to make a wreck of it. But when we go to him, when we go to the Lord in prayer, in earnest supplication for our need or a brother or sister's need, the end of it is he gets the glory. The end of it is, you know, they come through it. Sometimes, you know, we still have the idea of woe is me when we go through our trials and the Lord, you know, allows us to go back through that trial again so we can learn the lesson. But in the end, it's all for His glory. So that He's magnified. It's so that He's lifted up. And prayerfully, that's why you're here tonight. So that God's word can encourage you. God's word can strengthen you, build you up, and make a difference. As a child of God, my position of resistance and strength has to come from God and His word. And that can only happen when I'm in His word all the time. Because when the waves start crashing and things are pounding and we're tossed and turned, to go to God's word at that point, I'm not saying it's wrong, but if you have verses that you have committed to heart, it's a whole lot easier to say, I know He's got the reins, than to sit there and turn to it and start flipping and trying to, like, yeah, Lord, I need some help. Study to show thyself approved. Why? I can rightly divide the word of truth. I can take the word of truth and apply it to my life and trust in Him. Because it's not my strength, it's His strength. It's not my promises, it's His promises. That's the only thing that's going to get me through the times of life that are struggles, that are trials, when I'm being attacked. Let's pray.